These are your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of the Lord. The title I've written on the board is Root Bound. Read a story recently about a man that moved to Florida and he bought a house. And there were some azalea bushes in his backyard. And they did not bloom properly. And eventually, within a year, they just withered up and they died. And he began to clear those bushes out and dig them up, and he discovered the cause of their death. Now, I'm not a botanist, but I know enough to know that if you want a plant to flourish, there's going to have to be a room for roots to get down and to grow. And he dug up and he saw that the roots were in the exact shape of the container that it had been in when they were purchased. And so when you get azalea bushes or other bushes and you pull them out of the pot, you know, you have to take a screwdriver and stick it up in there and pull those roots apart and so they can grow outwardly. And if you don't do that, those roots will just stay in that circular, if it's a circular container, and they will begin to grow inwardly until there's no room for the roots to expand, and it won't bear fruit. It will not bloom. It will not flourish. Well, we have a little plant at home Zachary started, one of my boys, and took an avocado seed. And it's been growing probably for over a year now, but it has yet to be repotted. And so it's still in a small container, and it pretty much just contains roots. And I don't think it's going to prosper much more unless we put it into a larger container or take it outside and pull those roots apart so it can start to expand. Spiritually, this morning, there is inherent danger to any body of people who have been existing as this body has. The last Reformation was in 1880, if you want to look at it that way. It's been about five generations. In any group or movement of people, I want to say this, we go back further than 1880, understand? If we just go back to 1880, we're a movement of man. We go all the way back to Jesus Christ. But going back to the initial Reformation period, that is a time of revival. It is a time where people are stirred and they are excited and invigorated about the truth they have. And there's a reaching out. And there's a going out, spreading the truth and spreading the word. But I will say this morning, there is an inherent danger to the saints of God, and I say it in love this morning, but there is an inherent danger to us being root-bound if we're not aware that that is a present danger to us. And just because there's a warning does not mean we need to be offended. I know Brother Philip and I have had these discussions different times. Brother Stanley and I had them in different ones. Folks, some people sit back and they say, well, the saints just aren't doing anything. I take exception to that kind of talk this morning. And I believe that if we were to go around this morning and start examining people's lives, you would be surprised at what the saints are doing. And I appreciate the work of God that is going forward. And I appreciate the sacrifices and the consecration. It's not always in a visible front. It's not always something that everybody knows about. But there is a private work of God that is being done in reaching out. But do you know, as a body of people this morning, if we want to continue to flourish, if we want to grow spiritually, not just in numbers, but if we want to grow in our own soul, we are going to have to get out of the pot unless we become root bound. And it's going to take some sacrifice to get out of the pot. It's going to take some possible dangers. There's going to be some risks to getting out of the pot. But folks, we can talk about that and say we need to protect, protect, protect. But we can do that to the exclusion of the commission that Jesus gave to us when he said, go ye. In other words, get out of the pot. Because if we stay within these four walls here this morning, and again, it is God's desire. I believe God is pleased for us to be here this morning. I believe God is pleased with us having camp meetings. God is well pleased with us coming together for services through the week. But this ought to be a place that we can come to encourage one another, to stir one another in the Spirit of the Lord to go back out into our mission field. And if we get into a protectionist mentality of the truth that we have, we're going to lose the truth that God has blessed us with. If we get into a place that we want to protect so much what God has blessed us with, we will begin to decay in the pot. And we will turn inward. And when we turn inward, that's when we begin to get self-righteous. It's when we begin to think that I am it. I am it. We are it in these four walls. And we're against, and we be against everything else. Folks, the Lord has placed us in this present generation to take the gospel to the world. That is our commission. The Lord wants us individually and as a church this morning to be blooming. Does He not? He wants us to be blooming that the world could look on and see some fruit. But we're not going to bloom. And I appreciate the message last night. Some of the scriptures Brother James brought, it just dovetails to on a collective basis of where the burden the Lord's given me. Individually, we heard last night, we need to enlarge our tent. That was one of the scriptures the Lord put on my heart. As a people this morning, we need to enlarge our tent. We need to have a vision and a perspective of our reason for being. The Lord did not call us, refer to it as Saintsville. The Lord did not want us to shut the doors and lock the doors to this building and say we're going to protect what we have. If we do that, we will die right here. Because we will be in such a protectionist mode that we become disobedient to the purpose that Jesus gave to us. And that was, I want you to go out and I want you to share the blessings that you have with those that are sick and needy and dying out in the world. But there is risk of disease in the pot. There is risk of decay in the pot. And we need spiritual discernment. I'm not saying jump out of the boat in your own ability. But I'm saying we need the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost that we can go out to the world and not be influenced by them. But rather, we can take the good news of the gospel to them that need it. I believe this morning we have something wonderful that the world needs. I believe even some of the things that have been taught in this meeting yesterday morning. Doesn't the world need teaching and to see families that are strong? Doesn't the world need to see how do you keep your marriage intact? How can you have a strong marriage? How do you raise your children? How can I find deliverance from these bondages that I'm in? Folks, I believe God has blessed us with a lot of the answers this morning. But what good is it going to do the man down the road if we stay in these four walls? And Jesus is saying, I want you to go. Don't become root bound. Because if you do, folks, we're going to end up dying. And I will say, again in love, there is an inherent danger to this present body of people in this generation. If we are not aware that there's a danger of being root bound, we're going to end up dying, slowly shriveling up and turning inward. And then when we do that and we lose our outward focus, I'm going to start examining your life just a little bit much because we're all in these four walls. Would not my time be better served? Would not our time as a people, as the saints of God, be better served doing what Jesus said? Go tell someone, go give them hope. Go help those that are sick. Go minister to those that are hurting. Go give the minister and succor those that have emotional needs. But if I'm not doing that, and I'm going to get too much time on my hands now, and I'm going to start looking at you, and I'm going to start measuring myself to your life and comparing my righteousness to your righteousness, and we're going to nitpick each other until we kill each other off. You see, the Lord has a greater call and a greater purpose for us this morning. Oh, let's not keep the truth that God has blessed us with. Let's not keep it bound up this morning. But I want to encourage us. And again, this is not an indictment this morning. Maintain the good works in your life. But also be aware there's inherent danger. Five generations that has bound us as a people together. Many of us are family here this morning, aren't we? Our grandparents knew each other. And it does me good. I remember Brother James years ago saying it was kind of nice to come in and people say, well, who is your grandpa? And nobody knew who he was. I want to see more of that, folks. We have something wonderful to take out. You don't have to be in this body for generations. What you need is the blood of Jesus applied, and that's what God's church is. But there is a unity of the Spirit, and there's a unity of the faith. And I believe God has blessed it with us, but if we don't let it work in our life and get it out, we're going to take the good that we have and become root-bound, just like those azalea plants. And so it's a little painful sometimes to take the roots and pull them apart. It's a little painful sometimes, isn't it? Do you know what the devil would like to tell you right here in this part of the message? Yes, but there's compromise. You better be careful. That's the devil. Okay? Because the devil wants to steal from God's people our purpose for being here as a body. Our purpose for being here as a body, as well as individually, is to bloom. It is to bear fruit that the world would find hope. But they will never see that blooming. They will never find the hope if this is what we are all about. This is part of it. But there's another part that God wants us to be aware of. Over in the 92nd Psalm in the 12th chapter. Desire your prayers this morning. The 92nd Psalm will begin reading with verse 12. It said, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be flat, fat, and flourishing." That's God's desire and purpose for us this morning. He wants us to bear forth fruit individually. I believe that was brought out last night. Individually. But collectively as a people, as congregations, as a body, as a movement this morning, in our old age, after 130 years, after five generations, the Lord does not want us to turn into a bunch of has-beens, but the Lord wants us to allow the truth to be alive in our life, still bringing forth fruit, bringing forth life with vision, with perspective, and spiritual balance. But folks, when we become root-bound, we're going to lose our vision of what this is all about. When we begin to get root-bound, we're going to lose the balance spiritually and we're going to start falling to one extreme or another. But when we can get out of the pot and spread our roots and start reaching out, it's going to foster spiritual growth in my life. Even if nobody else heeds the hope and the message that the Lord sends me out to the world with, I will grow myself spiritually and I will become stronger and I can be more balanced and I can have more anointing in my life. Folks, that's what I long for this morning. But I'm not going to find it twiddling my thumbs at home and just going to service, but recognize come to service to get life and being reinvigorated that we can go out to work on our mission field. Go to school. Let that be your mission field. And wherever God sends you, that is work that God has for you to do. In this generation, inherent danger is that we will become self-focused. That's part of what being root-bound is as a people. We become self-focused. We're going to shrivel up if we do that, folks. If we want to flourish. And I believe that's our desire this morning, isn't it? And again, maintain your good works. Keep doing what... Don't be weary in well-doing. Scripture says, for in due season... we shall reap if we faint not. And I do not know when due season is, but the Lord does. And so our commission is, keep sowing the seed. Keep growing, keep expanding, keep reaching out, keep ministering, and leave the results to God. But as a people, we will be stronger for it. Jesus said over in Mark, the 16th chapter, in the 15th verse, He said unto them, His disciples, one of the last commissions that He gave to them was to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that still a viable, relevant commission to us today as a people? How are we doing? And do you know, individually, we can only answer that individually. There are people that you don't know about that are going out every day working for the Lord. But I will say the cause of some spiritual weakness amongst the body of Christ is because there are some people that are not willing to have their roots torn apart and spread out. And they want to stay in the pot. And they wonder why we have all this truth. It's not working. I'm not finding the deliverance. I don't have the joy that I ought to have in my individual life. There's a reason for it. And I believe one of the reasons is because maybe we have failed to adequately go out as a commissioned people like God wants us to. You mean I'm going to have to spend $15 for gas to go over there and minister to someone? Why? And then pretty soon it's just the preachers that are going to do it. Because we're all so busy. Because I have other things to do. Folks, we are commissioned this morning. We are commissioned individually, but I believe that there is a synergy in the work of God that the Lord wants us to have as a collective, in a collective way. Because it's one thing for one person to go out and minister, but it does something else when there is a group. It's something else when there is a body of people ministering. It's letting, because people can see the body then. It's more than an individual. And I believe that we have, and again, if you disagree with me, you pray for me. But I believe through the generations, there has been a loss of synergy among us as a people in collective outreach. And I appreciate what has been done and what is being done because there is work being done. I keep reiterating so you understand that. But please know that we can focus so much on that that we lose the warning from the Lord saying, you need to work together now. There is a place in synergy in your local congregations. And I don't have all the answers. But Lord, when we become aware of this need, Lord, would you lead us? And you know, sometimes when we get out of the pot, we're going to make some mistakes. And if you look on and say, Brother Michael, you did what? You went where? Oh, Brother James. Are we willing to make some mistakes to get out of the pot? Or do we want to stay in and eventually shrivel up and die? I do not want for my spiritual roots to start becoming circular. I will say, and this is more of a personal testimony, folks, if the Lord had not stuck His screwdriver in my life and started to pull my roots apart so they could grow out, I'm not sure I would be here this morning. Because I needed that to grow. I needed that to become stronger in the Lord, and I want to become stronger. I don't want to wither on the vine. The Lord, as folks, as a people now, as a body, we need to allow the Lord to come in and stick His screwdriver in. There's a little chastisement that we heard last night. That's yesterday. That's grievous sometimes. But folks, it will yield the peaceable fruit of the Spirit. It'll enable us to grow and blossom in a way that maybe we as a people have not blossomed as effectively as the Lord would like us to. Go ye. What's the importance of it? You know, when you get out of the pot, you spread those roots out and they can start growing and lengthening and deepening. It gives perspective It gives spiritual perspective. The scripture says over in the 29th chapter of Proverbs, where there is no vision, it says the people do what? They perish. And where there's no vision, it is speaking of the prophesying of the Word of God. And I was thinking about that. How does that apply now really in that vision that he was referencing there? When we fail to go out, see, go into the world, it's good for us to have services here. It's good to have those willing to get up behind the pulpit. But the greatest work of God is not done from behind this pulpit. And the greatest work of God is not done within these four walls. The greatest work of God is done when you leave here. And if we have a mentality of guard, 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 protect, 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 we're going to become rootbound. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. He guards. He protects. He leads. He enables. Perspective. You see, we need some more spiritual perspective, because if we don't have it, again, we become self-focused. We start nitpicking. Is that what happens? We had some birds in our backyard. There were, I think they were robins. And she put her nest up in a very precarious position. And the nest fell down. And we didn't see the mother very much, but there were three little birds. And two of them looked pretty weakly. They were pretty sick. And they looked real scrawny, but there was another little bird that could not fly that did not want to stay in the nest. And we almost wondered if its wing had been damaged when it fell. And it would just start flapping around, and the boys fed it a worm, and pretty soon we saw the mother come and feed one. It rained hard in our backyard. There's a little flood that goes through there. But do you know that little bird? It didn't want to stay in the nest with its two brothers or sisters. It wanted to keep trying to hop out. That saved its life. Now you say, Brother Michael, what are you saying? What are we bailing on now? That bird got out of the nest and it was able to get food. It wasn't able to fly. It would flop around in the backyard. It was a little injured. But do you know, eventually that bird was able to fly. As a people this morning, don't bail on God. Don't bail on God's people. Don't bail on the truth. Don't bail on the congregation where God is blessing and anointing. But if all we do is stay in the nest, we're going to end up dying, because we're going to have to get out of the nest to be able to grow and start flapping our wings. And I may not be able to fly, but in flapping, I'm gaining some strength. I'm gaining some strength until I will be able to soar above the fences, the things that have hindered me in my life, and I'll be able to fly. You see, that's God's desire for us as a people this morning. I believe the Lord wants us to mount up with wings to share His gospel. Down the street, across the sea, wherever. But that should be our burden this morning. Our focus ought to be the lost this morning. But when our focus is, well, I saw, what are you doing here? And what are you doing there? You got too much time on your hands. What have you been doing for God? And pretty soon we can just start looking, I'm pretty righteous. What are we doing with the truth we have this morning? I believe we're doing something with it, but can we do more? Can we do more? We are a blessed people this morning. So let's take the bounty that we have and go and share it and spread it so someone else would find hope in Jesus Christ. Perspective gives vision. You know, reaching out and spreading our roots, it brings about a vision to what the gospel is really about. And I really think it would behoove everybody, and I know not everybody can do it, and I know God does not call everybody to go on the foreign mission field. I know that. But I think that when we get out of the nest a little bit, it brings a perspective and vision to what the gospel is really about. When there are people that are abound with addictions, when there are people that are hurting and they need some hope, they need Jesus. They need something that will make a difference in their life. And then we come back together, and we're there to lift up Christ. We're there to lift up Jesus. We're there to lift up the divine work that God can do. It brings about balance to our lives. You see, if we stay right here and this is all we do with the truth we have, we're going to get off balance. Because this is about souls being saved. This is about hope. This is about drawing closer to the Lord. And again, folks, I believe that if we will get out of the pot, allow the Lord to spread our roots, that we can start getting a vision of some work for the Lord. You're going to become stronger spiritually for it. You're going to find some greater victories in the battles and the struggles that we've been having. I believe that we are stronger for outreach, and I believe we become more capable people in Jesus Christ. I believe there's a strengthening process that happens. There are things and questions and concerns of why we maybe should not go out. Because, you know, being in the pot and staying in that just circular growth pattern, there is a sense of security there. Is there not? I'm going to be watered. And there's going to be some food maybe. And there's a sense of security that's there. But see, remember the end of that, it's not going to blossom. The end is, it's going to self-destruct. So then, what do we do with the concerns? What are the fears we might have this morning? A defensiveness against worldliness and compromise. That is a very valid concern. Because if we spread our roots, I don't want to be tainted. And I don't want to lose the truth that God has given us. Fear that we will be taken outside of truth. Folks, the Lord would have us to grow up this morning. You see, it's not for babes. It's not for babes to go out. You say you take a small seed and you put it in the pot. You nurture it. You care for it. But there comes a time that the roots are going to have room to spread. Yeah. And so I'm not advocating this morning that we send our little children out. But what I am saying as a people, and as a people that brings individual responsibility now. As a people, we cannot allow the fear of losing truth. We cannot allow the fear of compromise to cause us to be disobedient to the commission to go out. You see, there's a balance in this morning, folks. A brother expressed to me a while back, he's not in fellowship with his body of people. I believe the brother's saved. One of the concerns he expressed to me was, he said, he was afraid that if he came and fully fellowshipped with us, that he would be constrained to stay within these four walls. And he felt like, he felt like, I'm not saying it was an accurate perception, all right? But he was afraid that if he fully fellowshipped us, he would not be able to go to other places to minister truth. Because he would be ostracized, because we say, well, what's their history? What's their genealogy? Doesn't match up with historically our grandparents, and you left Anderson a little bit too late, see? I'm speaking to us as a body now. And that was his concern. That saddened me. And I told him, I said, it's not totally that way. But I do understand your concern. I share that to try to help our perspective this morning. The Bible teaches us to come out of Babylon, does it not? That is still relevant today. There is still a come out message, and what that means is, and I don't want the smoke of Babylon on my garments this morning, but what it means is, do not fellowship the system. Do not fellowship the false doctrine. But if there are doors that are open to me, I've had a revival meeting in Assembly of God Church. Do I need to sit down this morning because of that? No, those people needed truth. They needed the gospel. But if we look on and say, you did what? Oh, Brother Michael, now he comes to Guthrie. I'm not sure about him. It depends on motivation then. What matters is the purpose. What is the reason that you're going over there? If I go to fellowship the system and I join my hands with the false doctrine, then you have cause to say, Brother Michael, until we clear this up, you ought not to minister. I want you to hold that on me. But folks, I want us to understand there are people that need the truth today. And we need to understand that while we don't want to fellowship Babylon and the messages come out of it, how can they come out if we don't give them the truth? What else are they going to come to if we are not strong enough in the Holy Spirit to go out and not succumb to the world, but take the glorious gospel to them? We need to exercise caution. But we cannot this morning allow the caution to cause us to become rebound. You see, there's another fear that people have sometimes, and there's a response. You know, every time, and again, there are some of you who've been around a lot longer than I have, but even in my lifetime, almost every time when you see fanaticism, there is a reaction to it. Because we go into protectionist mode. And you know, some of that's just very natural. It doesn't mean we're doing wrong, but it's a natural response. We see someone getting fanatic, if we're not careful, we will tend to even back up and not continue to preach as much some of those places of carefulness, because we don't want to be associated with fanaticism. Is that right? Compromise is the same way. I've watched it happen through the years. When you see a people begin to pull out and they begin to compromise and let down on truth, we don't want that. We don't want to be associated with that. And if we're not careful, our pendulum will swing too far the other way as a response to that. And what the Lord wants us to do is stay steady, be fixed, and continue to grow and not allow the fears of compromise and fanaticism to cause us to deviate from our purpose to go ye. Amen. We're going to face opposition from within and from without. Move under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And if you begin to see that you are compromising truth for the purpose of outreach, you are not moving under the unction of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, the Spirit of the Lord, works in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. And see, the enemy's pretty sly. And so what he has done through the years, and he's still doing today, he will take a portion of truth, maybe something that we as a people need to be revitalized among us, and he will take it and mix it with other things that are false, and we identify it and say, that's wrong what they're doing. You see? But if we're not careful, we will not even give credence to some of the needs that maybe we do have. That's the enemy trying to cause us to begin to get introverted as a people in self-focus. When that happens, folks, we're going to die, just like we will die if we say, well, we'll just fellowship anything and we're all headed the same place. No, Jesus said there's a narrow way. This is not a way of compromise. It's not a way of just going out. Everybody that says they're saved, we'll just all get together and have this ecumenical spirit. That is a move of the enemy. But yet on the other hand, Jesus said, go out and spread the gospel. Go out and help the hurting and minister to the lepers out there. And don't be so afraid of leprosy that you won't reach out and touch them with the love of God. Jesus said in Acts 1, chapter 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Folks, the disciples, Jesus commissioned them to go. He wanted them to be witnesses of him. But it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do this and be safe, see. We are in the world, but not of the world. So if the enemy's caused you to sit there thinking, okay, if I are you saying that just go be part of the world? No. But I'm saying go live a life of purity and holiness under the unction of the Holy Ghost and take that message to the world. Don't become part of them, but take that message of hope. But we need to be equipped with the Holy Spirit, folks. If we are not being moved and led by the Holy Spirit, we're going to die if we stay in, and we're going to end up dying if we get out and spread our roots. We're going to die because we need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live a consistent, victorious life. But do you know when you begin to get your roots spread out and they begin to grow, some of those hardships we heard about last night, do you know that that plant is not so easily plucked up? When the storm comes and when the difficult things of life come, it's not so easily plucked up now because it's grown deep. It's gotten in some ground that's even hard to break through. And you can't just come up and knock it over like you can when something's potted, see. You see, we become strong individually and as a people when we do it the Bible way. In truth, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the call of the oneness of God's people, with God's true church, that's still a relevant message today. But how are we going to get it out unless we go? If we hold this truth to ourselves, do you know what's going to happen? We're going to get so fat we're not going to be able to move. We just eat. And we're going to eat. And we have all this truth and all this bounty until we can't move. Folks, when you eat, you've got to burn and use that energy. God has blessed us with truth this morning. I want it to take root. And I want to grow. I want to see us as a body, as a movement, expand. I want our leaves to grow. I want to see greater fruit. I want to see us being a greater light to the world. But to do it, we're going to have to start growing down deep. We're going to have to start spreading out. And that means letting the truth and the knowledge and the experience of truth in your own personal life start exercising yourself in it. Start letting it accomplish something, not only in your life, but in the life of your neighbor, in the life of your coworker, in the life of the one you go to school with. Are we willing to be laughed at? You know, sometimes we are just too sensitive, folks. We need to get our spiritual feelings off of our sleeves. What if they don't accept it? What if they don't? At least they heard it. At least they had an opportunity, and so they're going to go their way and you're going to go yours. At least they heard some gospel. And sometimes we want to have to be so politically correct that we're afraid to witness to our neighbors. We're afraid it's easier to go somewhere where people have so many needs to witness to them. But those that live like we live, oh, I'm so afraid it. What if they reject me? Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. It's okay. If you do it with the love of God in true concern, without self-righteousness, without be like me, but no, rather, I found something in the Lord that worked for me. In my own life, I found a place of peace. And God can do that for you. But we're going to have to be willing to be... We talk about the martyrs shedding their blood in persecution. And oh, that almost starts to sound romantic, doesn't it? Give your life for the gospel. Oh, that starts pulling. But are we willing to have a door shut in our face? Are we willing to someone say, you know, I'm really not interested. Well, thank the Lord, I'll go to the next door then, see? That's not as romantic, is it? That's getting out of the pot. We are willing to go out and be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I'd like to conclude, and we're not even going to take the time to read it, but do you remember over in 2 Kings when Samaria was under siege by the Syrians? And the lepers were outside the city walls, and there was a great famine in the city. And in the famine, the famine was so bad that cannibalism began to exist.
Because there was no food available. And the lepers were out there, and God sent along a noise of chariots and horses and of a mighty host, and the Syrians fled their camp. And the lepers were out there, and they went down to that camp and saw that the enemy had departed, and all of the food and the bounty was there. And they sat down and they ate to their heart's content. Sat down and enjoy. I'll just read a couple of verses. It said, when these lepers came to the uttermost part, 2 Kings 7, verses 8 and 9, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carry thence silver and gold and raiment. And they went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. Folks, this today, in 2011, in this generation, is still a day of good tidings. The good tidings did not go away 120 years ago. This today is a day of good tidings. And if we stay sitting, eating, we need to eat. We need to be nourished. But now let's go tell someone about it. Because if we tarry, some mischief might come. In other words, if I stay in the pot, if I just stay right where I am in my security zone, in my comfort zone, some mischief will come upon us. And folks, it will come upon us individually. It will come upon our individual congregations, whether they be small or large. And it will come upon us as a body of people. I don't want to be root bound, but I want to be bound in truth. I want to be under the unction of the Holy Spirit. But then I want to do, and Lord help us all to do as these lepers and say, this is a day of good tidings. The Lord has given us so much, folks. Let's go out and spread this glorious gospel of hope. You see, our witness is not about me, and it's not about you. Our witnesses are not about these four walls. Our witness is of the delivering power of Jesus Christ and the life of holiness and purity and peace that God can work in their life. And that is what we're commissioned to go out and spread. That is not to the neglect of the message of what the church is, but what is the church? Those that are washed in the blood, living free from sin, those that have that not only this the Spirit, but the Word, the truth. And let me just say, there are those that would say, well, we just need to preach Jesus because, see, it's doctrine that divides people. Have you heard that? You know that's the enemy. Anybody that says that's a false prophet, or they're understand, they're very spiritually immature. Now that may be a strong statement, but I want us to understand something. Jesus came to give us the truth. The scripture says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that Word was Jesus Christ Himself. So if we as a people take the mentality, well, don't preach on those things that divide people. If it's truth, we begin in and of itself to deny Jesus Christ. If we want to have the power of God, we not only need a unity of the Spirit, but we need a unity of the faith. And anybody time someone tries to delineate and say, well, let's just leave those things alone. I'm not talking about your opinions now. I'm talking about what the Bible teaches. That's doctrine, and this is truth, and I find that this brings life. The doctrines that the Bible teaches, it changes. When you get hold of the true doctrines, it changes your perspective and understanding of who God is and what He wants out of us, that our relationship can be closer with Him. Do we well this afternoon? We eat, and I appreciate the good food we have. But Lord, would You help me now? Would You help us as a people to go out and use that energy for the advancements, not of my own agenda, not as a people even, but could we go out, Lord, and advance the agenda of the kingdom of God? That's lifting up Christ, ministering hope. Folks, if we will spread our roots out this morning, we'll bear more fruit.
We will become individually stronger as individuals and as a congregation. So I would, in closing, that we be warned. If we become root-bound, we will end up dying. We will end up with disease. But if we will, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, begin to reach out in truth and in love and let our roots grow and go do God's work, I believe that God will preserve and keep us because there is a glorious gospel that the world needs to hear. You pray for me.